July 1st, 2020. Very special on the road with the bros.
On the road again.
The road with the bros episode tonight. Todd recently recovered from a bout with the hiccups.
I may have the hiccups, just in case.
It may come back. We never know. Also, you will hear at some point in this episode, you may have already heard it. An actual hiccup from Todd that I pre-recorded earlier. So that's going to be hilarious.
Don't make me laugh, because if I burp, they might come back.
We'll try not to make him laugh. The return of the hiccups. July 1st, 2020, as is the tradition in our family going back, 35 years? 35 years plus? We have some representation of the Hoffmans at Ocean Isle Beach in North Carolina, and that is where Todd is.
Oh my God, I'm sitting on the balcony, mm-hmm. and if you recall, we hang up our clothes to dry out there, so I have my shirt hanging over the balcony, and I looked over, and there's a giant fucking roach just crawling around. Tried to flick it, but it just, like, punched me in the gut and ran away.
You know, that's one thing that, not to sidetrack, right off the rip, but that's one thing that living here in Colorado, we just don't, they don't exist. We do not have cockroaches out here. We have giant spiders. Don't get me wrong. But we do not have
scorpions.
We do not have scorpions, no. Just spiders.
Spiders. Have scorpions in Colorado, though, right?
I mean, yeah, but not here. Not like.
Not in your house.
Not near my home. Not in my house.
Well, we don't have roaches, knock on wood, in Maryland either.
Yeah, but where you live, you have all kinds of other creepy crawlers, I would assume.
Yeah, there's lots of other bugs.
Yeah. So, that's all the same. Anyway, Todd is at the beach, and you've been there since last Saturday, so today is day...
Yeah, you may hear the gentle sounds of waves in the background. You may not. But
you may not. You're more likely to hear weather coming on, to be honest with you. But
hear what?
You're more likely to hear my air conditioner turning on. Sounds just like that. That's amazing.
I do my best.
So talk to us about what's happening each, specifically as it relates to social distancing, lack thereof. What's the situation?
We wear masks. So at our beach, there's a pool, the place that we stay at the beach. And there's a boardwalk over the dunes to get to the beach. So we've been doing our best to not be on that sort of boardwalk thing over the dunes when anyone else is on it. A couple of times we've had to, there's like a sitting area at the top of the dunes and then it extends. That's not really a boardwalk. It's, I don't know what you call that. It's a staircase over it.
Yeah.
We'll stop at the little sitting area to let someone pass. And we told the girls and have stuck to not using the pool. And we've just been, we wear masks to the beach and we take them off at the beach. It's obviously safer outside than it is in.
Sure.
We're not going into any restaurants. So we're in the condo, we're on the beach and trying to stay 6 feet away from people. It's worked out pretty well. I would say masks. Almost no one else wears masks around to the beach. They did bring back the law in North Carolina where you have to wear a mask inside. So
right.
At the grocery store and stuff, people are wearing masks, which you should be wearing a mask.
Yes.
But yeah, it's not too bad. Like I said, I mean, as you can imagine, when you're on the beach and no one's wearing a mask, you're not. I can see why people aren't thinking about it, but like people sometimes will walk too close to you. We're constantly like pulling the girls away from people so that they're not like walking near them. People won't pay any attention to walking in front of you or near you. So as long as you're on your toes, you can mostly avoid them.
And so essentially, you've been condo, beach, and like you said, maybe the grocery store, but you've really never not been anywhere else.
I did go to the record store, but
Jesus Christ. Of course you did. Wait, Ocean Isle Beach has a record store? Or did you have to go to like Wilmington?
Shalott. But yes.
Shellac? Oh, Shalott.
Shalott. Shalott? Shalott? I don't know. I've been there the last 3 years. I found better stuff the last 2 years, but I found a few records this year. I think the guy's gotten better on his pricing. Better meaning more accurate, not cheaper.
Oh.
Although so the last two records had warps in them. I think the first one was my fault. The second one I don't think was my fault.
Should have brought it back. I was here last summer, and you sold me this hunk of shit.
Well, the thing is like, so I bought a record for like, I don't know, $8, $12. It's like a $150 record, but it has this like ripple warp in it, which is pretty much impossible to get out. So it's basically garbage, which is frustrating because it was such a good deal. I was very excited about it.
Sure. I can imagine.
Bill Evans, Undercurrent. For those interested in what record it was.
No one gives a shit. Literally no
one.
Did you see
my amazing sandcastle that I got?
That was on the list of things to comment on for me internally. But let's jump right to that. So historically, the Hoffman men/boys, going back many years, have been schooled in the ways of the drip castle. For those of you unfamiliar, it's, you know, most people make a standard sandcastle with big spires and things of that sort. The drip castle is where you literally have a little pool of salty, briny mud water, and you pull out a handful, and then you make a little point between your thumb and the finger of your choice, and you can make drip, little drip dots, and it creates what we call a drip castle. It's a very unique look. I don't know why it's not more popular on the beach, but it's not. The one you made looked like it had an east wing and a west wing, but I didn't see a lot of drip work. That was my only.
Well, so we made a similar one the day before and did not photograph it, but this one we basically rebuilt. It had a fair amount of drip, so I've created some innovations in the drip category.
Okay.
We made a couple of bridges. I don't know if you saw that freestanding.
I did see the bridges.
Suspended. And basically I used some of the reeds from the beach and dripped atop of them to make supported structures. And then I made some taller. I used the same sort of reeds, stuck them into the sand, and dripped on top of them to make taller, more spire-like things that you could not achieve solely with drip technology.
Okay. Technology with drip advancements, yes.
Yeah. As my dad was calling them, structural reinforcements.
Okay.
So, yeah, people were pretty impressed. I got a lot of comments. One lady took a photo of my castle because she wanted to show her friends. Because she's an idiot. the other thing we did was we built up a mound of sand, dug a hole through so there's a tunnel, and then made a reed gate across the front, which people seem to like as well.
Now, the pictures I saw, and most of the pictures, your children are both involved. They actually help? Did they participate? Did you have them running sand back and forth? Like, what was the division of duty?
The older one was more interested in helping them than the younger, but they did some drippage and helped pile sand up to sort of make the base. Sticks and things.
You had them doing the boring.
They did some drippage. They helped a little bit. Their interest is waxing and waning. I built another sandcastle today that they helped almost not at all with. I was trying to make a bigger structure, but it didn't really turn out the way I wanted it to. It looked kind of like a volcano with a staircase up the side and was bedazzled with seashells. I didn't take any photos of it, though.
Not worthy of photos. Smart.
It was okay. It just wasn't, I don't know, it didn't turn out the way I wanted it to. I tried to get my wife to help me build up the sand structure, and she was not very willing participant.
I can imagine. So take me through a day in the life. Today was day 5. You get up, you have breakfast, you do a morning session at the beach, come back, have lunch, do an afternoon session. Like, what's the breakdown?
So we've been getting to the beach between 9 and 10. We'll stay for 2 or 3 hours. In the morning, and we come back. Honestly, we've been staying inside till about 3. Today we stayed until 4. We've been playing board games in the afternoons, and then heading back up to the beach. the high tide today, we went out at 4. Today we went out from 4 to 6. The tide was so high, there was almost no beach whatsoever. Farther down the beach towards the point, towards Sunset Beach, for those geography nerds of the North Carolina southern coast.
Yeah.
There was literally no beach. It was up to the stairs. There's sort of individual houses on that end of the island.
Oh, that's great.
And there was no exposed beach whatsoever.
Global warming.
And couldn't even make it to the end. Well, I think that our father was telling me that just with these islands that are sort of like barrier islands or whatever, the sands just kind of shift around depending on how they make the jetties or whatever out and how the sand, because the sands are always moving on the beaches. Like,
sure.
I mean, it might have been a particularly high tide for some reason, or the water may have shifted some, or the sand. I don't know if you remember, the house on the end has massive sandbags all around the outside of it, basically to keep it from falling into the ocean.
I do.
But yeah, it was super high tide. But this afternoon we basically just played in the waves. But yeah, we've been playing Uno. My dad's wife brought this game called Uno Attack, which has a little thing that shoots cards out at you. When you press a button, it's sort of a roulette situation of whether or not you get extra cards.
Mm.
And then been playing some Yahtzee,
nice.
Some Monopoly.
My daughter really?
Has the Monopoly, like,
for kids.
It's not called the Alexa edition, but it's basically like they've reduced the board down to 8 spaces a side, so there's every monopoly of properties is only 2 instead of the 2 and 3.
Gotcha.
But it has like this little smart speaker kind of thing in the beginning, and there's no physical money. It remembers all the money you have. You press your sort of token and say buy, and then say the property name or Pasco, and it tells you, and you can ask it how much money you have, but there's nothing in front of you. There's a property card still in front of you, but it knows, it remembers who owns what property. But the games are much quicker, because as soon as someone, so like if you pay rent on something and you don't have money, the sort of banker or announcer of the game will say, you can't afford to pay rent. What property do you want to give? So you have to give up property. So if you lose all your property and you don't have money, you're out of the game and the game is over. And it tallies based on the value of your property and the cash you have, who won. So most of our games are like 30, 45 minutes, which actually is pretty nice, because as you know, Monopoly, like traditional Monopoly, can go on for weeks. Or
yes.
Because you can mortgage stuff back to the bank or trade to people. There's a lot more like
bartering.
Well, if you landed on Boardwalk and you owed $1,600 or something, and you didn't have it, you could negotiate with the owner in a traditional Monopoly game, or you could say, "I'll trade." You can negotiate. Here, it says you can trade a property, or you don't even have a choice. It's just like, if that's all you have, it's like, what property you want to give, which in some cases is nice, because you could just be like, I'm going to give you the crappiest property I have. But you can only do that so many times. Like, once you go downhill, you go out pretty quickly.
That's true.
And it's all about, like, I mean, the regular Monopoly is this way too, but it's all about just sort of property accumulation, because there's only, what is it, I guess 16 or 20 properties. Is that right? I think there are 4 on each side.
On the traditional
4 sides.
Maybe on the small one. Yeah.
So if 4 people are playing, it's pretty easy to be imbalanced, I guess.
Sure.
The railroads are not properties in this game. It's just sort of it's almost like a chance card. It takes you somewhere else. When you land on a railroad, you can't buy them. So it's interesting.
Yeah.
I think I might have told you my daughter got the Cheaters edition of Monopoly, which does not have the smart speaker first. And the way that one's played, it's more like traditional Monopoly. They've also reduced the complexity of the board, but you can basically like steal stuff and not pay your thing. But it's incumbent on the other players to catch you.
to pick
which
up
just
on.
It seems like a terrible way to learn to play the game Monopoly. Cause
and that's made Monopoly's, for children? That's horrible.
Well, it's, I mean, it's a version of Monopoly. It's yeah. But if you've never played Monopoly before, starting with one where you don't have to follow all the rules is a terrible idea. Yeah.
That's ridiculous. By the way, I'm looking at a Monopoly, the traditional Monopoly board now. There are 22 total properties, along with obviously the four railroads, the utilities, and all the other
spaces. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. On the new one, there's only four, and every group of properties only has two. So there's Boardwalk and Park Place, and like the green one is
just two.
North Carolina and Pennsylvania. I think that's it. Yeah. They've left out whatever the third one is.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay. So so you've been playing that. You've been playing Yahtzee. getting back to the actual beach itself, when you're on the beach, it sounds like you're spending an immense amount of time working on sandcastles, but like I assume you're always hitting the ocean. Somewhat. Are you boogie boarding? Are you body surfing?
I'm doing some body surfing. The girls last year, my older daughter got stung by a jellyfish, so she was somewhat hesitant to go back into the ocean. But she's become more comfortable, but she doesn't really want to ride any waves. My younger daughter wears her little floaties. She also doesn't want to surf. We don't have any body boards or anything. Them to ride, although I think they would enjoy that.
Yeah, I would think so too. That's too bad. But otherwise,
one day there was some waves where there was a dude like surfing, like legit surfing, like cutting back into the waves and stuff, but he kept having to sort of pull up short because there are a bunch of people just standing around the water and you didn't want to plow through them. They weren't maintaining good surf etiquette of getting out of his way. And he wasn't comfortable with him like freaking out and like running in front of where he would have gone.
Right.
He was skilled, but not skilled enough to like anticipate stupid moves by someone else.
I don't recall ever seeing a surfer. Maybe once.
Yeah, there was him and there was like a couple other people. The other people clearly had no idea what they were doing. Like one guy had a surfboard but no leash. I was like, you're going to kill somebody when that board flies away from you. It's just pummeling through the water and cracks some kid in the head.
Exactly.
And there's a lady out there today with one, a surfboard, but she also had no idea what she was doing. Which to me is weird. Like, a surfboard's not a cheap investment, so I don't know how you just have a surfboard.
Right. Yeah, I would agree. Unless you're
borrowed it from somebody.
Yeah, or borrowing it from a friend, it's a possibility. So any, sounds like you've been cooking in every night. Any plans to go anywhere? Go to Wilmington? Anything like that before you guys head out in a couple days?
No, our friends, the Salanis are in Sunset Beach. We're supposed to see them tomorrow, I think.
Oh, nice.
Or Friday. I'm not sure which. They have been quarantining, I guess, down here for most of the summer from New York City.
Now, do they have family in Sunset? Do they know someone in Sunset?
I don't know. I haven't asked them, but I would assume that maybe his parents have a home there or they're renting a home.
Sure.
I'm guessing they're with his parents, but they could be by themselves. Like I said, I don't know. if you're staying there for multi-months, I would think you either...
Yeah, exactly.
Renting a property seems perhaps prohibitively expensive. To me.
Nothing's too expensive for Salina. He's got that super money. Can't spend it all in one place. Literally impossible.
Yes, the king's super income is definitely floating a multi-month beach rental.
King super money just never ends. It's just an infinite supply. The
fees you guys get must be massive.
I mean, I can't talk about it legally, but pretty high.
I should put that up on Bandcamp.
Maybe you should mention that to him tomorrow when you see him.
I'm guessing it's
a good topic of conversation. Yeah.
Do you have the CD?
Yes, I do.
Put it up on Bandcamp. All you need is like
the code.
Wave files or Oh, yeah. Lossless Files, I think.
We'll talk to him tomorrow and let me know. If he wants me to put it up, I'll put it up.
I'm sure he doesn't care, but okay.
I'm sure he doesn't care either, but I'll take all the royalties. So I did want to ask. It,
theoretically.
We could, that's a good point. We could sell it, and I definitely would. And that's what I mean by the royalties.
Name your price or like pay a dollar for your half of the album.
Dollar track?
No. I mean, we could do that too, but no one's going to do that.
$5 for the whole $5.
I think it's a reasonable amount.
I mean, can I legally do that? That's what I'm questioning. I don't know.
I think you guys probably own it.
Hmm.
I don't know who else would own it.
Talk to my attorney. The label. Whatever the label was.
Fairly certain that label is defunct.
All right. My side hustle just became clear. I did want to ask, and I'm springing this on you, so I don't expect you to necessarily have answers off the top of your head, but you're at a beach. I don't know if you looked at the topic list for tonight. I'm guessing you didn't, but
I have not.
Because we are people, or at least I'm a person, and you're a person too, who has been to more than one beach in your life, I was wondering if you had a top three favorite beaches and why. Or top five. It depends. So I will start.
Go ahead.
Okay. I will start. These are in no particular order because I didn't take the time to put them in order. But I think certainly in my top three, definitely in my top five, probably my top three would be the very secluded, and I don't even know the name of it, wherever the hell it was, the beach in Hawaii when we were out there for Mark's wedding. It was across the street from our little house or half a house that we were renting. And it's not because it was an exceptional beach. It was just no one was there. Like it was, and we didn't really spend a lot of time there, but there was just no one there. And it was, I just remember being very solitary. And I mean, it was Hawaii, so it was obviously instinctively nice and calm.
That and other beach we went to that was sort of a cove that had the massive turtles swimming around in it.
Oh, where we went snorkeling. That was nice. Didn't we snorkel? We snorkeled, I think.
I don't recall snorkeling, but I'll take your word for it.
Sure.
Oh, no, I wasn't talking about that. I was talking about the one. It was like at a hotel. It was almost like their own property. The snorkeling place was super nice. I do remember that. That's going on my list. I forgot about that.
Okay. Well, we'll go back and forth. That's the first one that I wanted to mention. Maybe we'll do five because I've got several others in mind, but go ahead.
Oh, yeah, that one. What that place was called. I'm sure I could find it, but.
It must be killing you not to have the internet at your fingertips.
I mean, I do have the internet, but I don't know if I can search while I'm Skyping with you on my phone.
Don't risk it.
I mean, I guess I'd put Ocean Island here on my list just because of the memories.
Sure, of course.
Trying to think of some other beaches I've been to. We went to some very strange beaches in Mykonos, Greece, for our honeymoon, where there were lots of naked Europeans. Key memory of mine, there was a woman who had the skin of an 80-year-old. I don't know how old she actually was, probably like 50. Who was just oiled up, completely naked. And the only time you could see her actual natural skin color was like when the sort of folds or cracks in her skin separated. It was like a different color.
It's a family show, Todd. It's a family show, please.
not like butt crack. I meant more like
you said crack.
Elbow or like the backs of her knees or something.
I gotcha.
I was trying to look away from her, but it was just like morbid curiosity. I was like, what is going on?
It was a shiny nickel in a sea of pennies. I understand.
more of a penny color, to be honest with you.
Fair. Shiny penny in a sea of quarters. You said that you went there were several like that? There were several nude beaches that you guys visited?
So we stayed in Mykonos for 3 days. So we rented a scooter and went to a few different beaches. There was like Paradise and Super Paradise. They were pretty party beaches. We didn't stay there very long, honestly, but
obviously.
It was more just to sort of see different parts of the island because you couldn't get there. I don't know how else we would have traveled. By walking or whatever, you had to, there were sort of like smaller roads. I don't even know if you, I mean, obviously you could get there by boat, but we did not have a boat. There's sort of the main city center, which if you've ever seen postcards, has like all the white buildings, the blue roofs.
Sure.
But these were more secluded beaches. One of them was definitely like a gay party beach or a nightclub-y sort of beach. I think we went there, but did not spend much time there. As my wife likes to say, we were cruising around on a scooter and I was flying through four-way stops, which was not true. The tradition there in Greece was to approach sort of an intersection and honk to let people know you're coming and then continue through. I mean, if I saw someone else, I would stop for them or vice versa. But I don't know. No helmets, just cruising around on a scooter. It doesn't seem like a very smart thing to do, but
definitely not.
When you're 24, that's what we're doing.
Young and dumb. Okay. Fair point. So another one that I will add, which certainly you have never been to, is I'm looking up the pronunciation. I'm pretty sure it's Cairns, not France, but Cairns, Australia, which is the jumping off point to go visit the Great Barrier Reef. But we spent a little bit of time on the beach itself beforehand. Obviously, I'm mostly just bringing this up for the Great Barrier Reef portion because that was one of the more memorable experiences of my life. But it was certainly it was like a resort town. That was the place where that hotel that night before we went and, went to the Great Barrier Reef is where I bleached my hair for the first time. So it's got some memories there as well. And it was the first bleach attempt where we literally used bleach. And so my hair just kind of turned like this weird shade of orange. It didn't turn white.
Going into the Friends of Rom concert?
No, it did not go to a Friends of Rom concert. Shout out to Friends of Rom, though. Fat Records band from Australia. But yeah, it was pretty awesome. Pretty awesome place. Obviously, most people, again, were just there like in that port area waiting to go to the Great Barrier Reef. But definitely a pretty dope spot. One that I hope to revisit at some point in my life. We shall see. Nice. Okay. Next for you.
I mean, I don't know if I have any beyond this, but I mean, my favorite beach probably, and it's interesting because it's not really like it's more the coast in Oregon is around Yahats. There's a place called Devil's Punch Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
All right, someone's lighting fireworks. If you can hear this in the background.
Oh, I can.
It's sort of a rocky. Oh wait, I have another one after this. It has sort of these rocky outcrops, and there's an area where the waves come in and just sort of shoot water up. It's like they have them in other places called like punch bowls or blow holes. I think they had some in Hawaii. I don't know. I love rocky beaches. Which reminded me of my next one that I'll get to. But.
And they definitely did have those in Hawaii. I remember standing near them where, yeah, water was kind of shooting out. And I'm looking at pictures of Devil's Punch Bowl now. That's
taken you there. It's one of my favorite places in the world, probably.
Yeah, it's a pretty impressive rock structure, the punch bowl itself. So the next one on my list, and I guess I have two more technically. The next one would be in Malibu, and now I can't remember.
Fancy.
Oh, I think it's called Cape Dume. No, I can't remember. But anyway, it's in Malibu, and I feel like an idiot that I can't remember the name of it. But it's just got, again, similar to what you were saying about the rocky beaches. It's got kind of a rocky outcrop, and Point Dume, that's what it is. Zuma Beach is the beach, but then Point Dume is like you walk up this big hill and you can look over and kind of look to your left and you can see LA, look to your right and you're looking up towards Santa Barbara. You can't really see that far, but it's just, you know, people have talked about for years and years about how, you know, beautiful the Malibu beaches are and they have a reputation. And Zuma Beach and Point Dume are two places that if you've ever been there, you know, it's worth it. So,
oh, no.
If you know, then you know, don't you know? So, yeah, that's my penultimate one. What else you got?
Sorry, I was forcing back a yawn. I thought of two.
Okay.
Sticking with the Northwest, Deception Pass on the north end of Whidbey Island is also, it's not a specific beach, but they have Deception Pass is sort of where the bridge is off of Whidbey to Anacortes, I think.
Okay.
But like many Pacific Northwest beaches, there's just like lots of tadpoles and not tadpoles, tide pools and rocks and like giant sea stars or starfish. I just really like that rocky coastline, massive like evergreen fir trees now, and stuff.
Are those that marine life you're talking about? Is that stuff that you can take, or is it like protected?
Well, I mean, you're supposed to do with not supposed to.
You're not supposed to.
So
yeah.
The sort of sea stars in the Northwest. I mean, typically they're, I don't know, they're anywhere from like 6 inches to 18 or 24 inches in diameter. I mean, some of them are really massive and very colorful, clinging to the rocks there. There's also lots of anemones and all barnacles and all that shit all over the rocks there. I don't know, it's just really beautiful and fun to walk around. I mean, it's interesting. I was telling my daughter today, like, the beaches in Oregon and Washington, typically, even in the summertime, are not, like, hot places. I mean, you've been there with us, so it can easily be like 65 degrees in the middle of July or August and like very windy. So you're oftentimes wearing kind of like sweatshirts or at least a jacket or a sweater. But yeah, very naturally. I got one more after this.
Okay. I'll do my last one, which is the name of the city actually has beach in it, but it's actually, it's Huntington Beach and my, it's in Southern California. It's between.
Oh, did you see South Pennywise there?
That's Hermosa, but good try. But no, it's basically between LA and San Diego. It's much closer to LA, but no, Huntington Beach is where, my friend Rohan.
Huntington.
No, Hermosa Beach, man. Where my friend Rohan got married, basically on the beach. I mean, it was across the street at the Hyatt, but it was
OC.
A pretty ridiculous.
It's in the OC, right?
Yeah, it's in the OC. Pretty ridiculous wedding. I mean, for a lot more reasons.
On horseback.
Yes, he did. Traditionally, he should have arrived on an elephant, but. I don't think that was in the cards. But anyway, so yeah, it's just it was an amazing, like, literally the wedding happened.
The horse was hung like an elephant
onto the beach. Would you shut up? You're looking out into the ocean rather, across the beach, and it was pretty amazing. Pretty amazing wedding. So
that's cool.
By far the most ornate and insane wedding I've ever been to and been in. As was the case, but yeah, you can look up pictures of that, the Hyatt Regency Huntington Beach, and
Rohan's wedding, probably not.
Not a Rose wedding, but I could probably show you some pictures of that too. But it was just
okay.
It was just ridiculous. So yeah, okay. What's your last one?
So my last one is, and I don't know the specific name of the beach, but sort of the East Coast version of the West Coast beaches was at Acadia National Park in Maine.
Okay.
Again, sort of rocky outcroppings out to the sea. Not quite as cool as on the West Coast, but definitely has that vibe. A lot of hiking along there. I don't know. We did that 2 summers ago, maybe. I think so. I don't know. I loved it. I thought it was awesome. I was like, oh yeah, this feels like coastal home to me. Having spent a lot of time in the Oregon coast, so I was very into that.
But
I
this
recommend
is
it to anyone.
You'd already moved. You'd already been living in Baltimore.
Yeah, yeah.
So it took you back to your home away from home, as it were. So let us know. Shoot us an email, thebropodnetwork@gmail.com. Thebropodnetwork@gmail.com. Let us know what your favorite beaches are. I'm sure we've missed some. No, I can hear you now. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry, I was sort of talking, but I was going to say, as a sort of what's it called? When you have like the honorable mention.
So oh, okay.
The beaches in Rhode Island now I can't remember the name of the place, but where all the fancy mansions are, there's some really cool beaches out there too. Bar Island, I believe, is one of the places you can go. It's only accessible by boat. Some nice beaches out there too.
Okay.
I like the remote beaches.
Sounds like
I don't know if you, and the last time you were at Ocean Isle, but it's becoming very popular, or feels very crowded to me, honestly.
It's been probably 6 or 7 years, but yeah, I got that feeling when I was there last time too. Just everything being built up, and I mean, we probably talked about this last week when we did the beach show, which is what we're calling this. But you know, there were when we were kids, Sandcastles, which is the name of the place that we stay, was literally the end of the road. Like there was there were some private houses beyond that, but there was nothing. There was no, and you know, across the street away from the beach, there were like some tennis courts that were kind of run down, and basically like a lot of open space. Like it was open, I guess, marshland, I suppose. And now, correct me if I'm wrong, all that shit is built up. Everything has been developed. Now this was 20, 25 years ago I'm talking about. So
not everything, but yes, it's way a lot more developed than it was. And I don't think it's anywhere near as sort of commercialized as some of the other like Myrtle Beach and places like that.
Oh, of course not. Of course not.
It's still very, it's been developed quite a bit.
Yeah. Which was bound to happen. I mean, it's literally the first beach in North Carolina. You know, and it's in a nice spot. It's close to Wilmington, which is I'd still say a growing city, probably a top 10 city in terms of population in North Carolina. So,
because of Dawson's Creek.
Just because of D Creek. That's right. That fucking Hollywood ruins everything. you know, it's interesting though. You think about all, we just mentioned probably 8-10 beaches, maybe more. We didn't name a single beach in our home state of South Carolina. No Florida beaches. Like I've been to, you know, some pretty dope ass beaches, South Beach in Miami, some parts of that. And we've been to some nice beaches in Florida in the past, but it's funny, those just never come to mind when I'm thinking about, and certainly Myrtle Beach sucks, let's be honest. And I've never been a big Charleston guy either, so.
Holly Beach is fine. I don't know. It's whatever.
Holly Beach is fine. And Hilton Head is nice. Like Jamie and I went there 7-8 years.
Seabrook, Hilton Head are nice.
Yeah.
I spent a lot of time. I should put Seabrook on my list because all the time I spent at camp there.
Camp St. Christopher.
Yeah, that one makes the list. I can bump off one of the other ones.
Bump off Rhode Island. Or just put Seabrook on there as honorable mention.
Yeah. No, there's Seabrook no shame. Would make the list. I'd probably bump off the Washington one or something else.
Right.
Has a lot of strong... I mean, as a beach, it's not that great, to be honest. But
right.
Because there's, like, no waves. And you can't go sailing out there, which is fun. Anyway.
Yes. But no, I just thought that was funny. Like, I immediately thought West Coast. I thought international. And literally 6 minutes ago, I was like, you know what? We didn't say a single beach in South Carolina. But, I mean, to be fair, we growing up, we didn't go to those beaches. We went to Citadel games.
True.
We didn't go to the beach. Like, we went to Charleston, but that was, we rarely actually saw the ocean. And again, a lot of those beaches, you know, Myrtle Beach is, the beach itself is shitty. Like, there's rocks and needles. I mean, it's not a place you want to take your family and build sandcastles like you've been saying you've been doing. Like that's not what Myrtle Beach is.
I think a lot of people do.
I know a lot of people.
Myrtle Beach to me feels more like Jersey Shore than
it's Southern Ohio.
More like a Carolina beach. Southern.
It is. I've said this 1,000 times, but go to Myrtle Beach right now, drive down there tomorrow and you will see there are more Ohio licensed plates than South Carolina. I'm not fucking kidding you. It's ridiculous. But yes, it's over commercialized. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say it's Jersey Shore. There's a lot of nightclubs where they're beating that beat up, but maybe there is. I don't know. I mean,
I think they've built up quite a few, maybe not nightclubs, but it's sort of like Branson, Missouri, where there's lots of shows.
Sure.
Like Kenny Rogers cover bands or something. I have no fucking idea what kind of music they have there, but.
Oh, and there's riverboats. You go gambling for 4 hours at a time.
There's all kinds of shitty stuff there.
Yeah, it's horrendous. Not a place I want to go. Anyway, I thought that was pretty intriguing. So the only other topic that I had that's beach related, then we can move off of that, is favorite beach activity. Obviously, sandcastles is pretty high. You didn't mention that you've been playing paddleball. Jeez, I almost forgot the name of it. But obviously,
have a paddleball set here.
God, can't believe you went to the beach without a paddleball set. It'd be a shame.
Dad's older now. I don't know how good an opponent he would be.
Wouldn't be as quick on his feet.
He is wily and plays dirty, but at least he did when he was
kids. When he shouldn't. No, that wasn't a slam. That was up. So even though you're not playing that this time, what are some of your other?
It's funny that I haven't seen. I think I saw like one person playing paddleball. There's a lot more cornhole sets out on the beach. Not that there are a lot, but there are definitely people that play that. You hear those thuds of beanbags on the plywood occasionally.
Pow, pow. Yeah.
There's fewer just beach games in general. I don't know what the name of this is, but there's a game where you play sort of like, it's almost like a lacrosse ball or a golf ball. You dig a hole in the sand and then like a little half circle behind it. I think you try to get it in the hole. I don't know if you've seen that game.
I have not. Almost like a bocce ball type thing?
Kind of, but you're trying to get your ball into the hole, I think. I think if you get it in the sort of gutter behind it, you lose a point, maybe. Or I just saw them play it. I wasn't really following. But I feel like I'd seen it somewhere before. It looks like it could be fun. What were you saying? What are my favorite beach activities?
Yeah, that's the topic.
Sandcastling for sure. I haven't played paddleball in very. I really don't keep playing. I haven't done that in a while either because I'm on the board. But I love riding waves. There was that one day when the dude was surfing where like those waves, there's almost like a little like ape in them. I was like, damn, I wish I had a board. I would be carving this shit up.
Is there not one in the closet underneath the place?
I don't think so.
Have you looked in that closet?
I have. We store stuff in there, but
okay. This chairs.
The state of disrepair and some of these things is pretty bad. I'm sure if there's a board in there, it's cracked in half. I had another answer. Now I can't remember what it was. Yeah, I don't know what you got.
No, I mean, obviously paddleball is top of the list for me. I mean, Drip Castles is up there, but depending on the weather, it can get a little hot sitting there and not having a chance to cool off. Body surfing generally leads to injury for me, but I do enjoy it. Boogie boarding does not.
Wait, what kind of injury are you having? These waves aren't big enough to like slam you into the beach or anything.
That's the injury I'm talking about, where you're drug ashore. You just end up grinding your face in sand. I'm not talking about long-term injuries. I'm just talking about, you know, like
short-term
rash
pain.
Yeah, rash on elbow, you name it.
You need a rash guard. That's what it's for.
I've never been a rash guard guy. I'm not going to lie to you.
It's awesome. You don't have to put sunscreen on your upper body.
I believe it. A lot of people would probably expect me to say running on the beach. But I can't think of a place that I would least like to run more than the beach. It's always miserably hot. It's normally windy, at least one of the two directions you're running. I don't like the inconsistency of the footing. Like, I see people running all the time and enjoying it, and good for them. But as a lifelong runner, I'll run on black asphalt in 100 degree weather before I run on the beach. It's just not a good option for me.
If you were to run on the beach, would you run barefoot or would you wear shoes?
I would run barefoot, and I have run barefoot in the past, just for the experience, just because it's, I mean, where else are you going to do that?
Kenya.
Like, literally, where else are you going to run barefoot? So,
and... Did you hear my answer?
I did not. What'd you say?
Kenya.
Oh, Kenya, correct. And, as I was about to say, it brings you in touch with, I'm not saying I have Kenyan roots, obviously, but it brings you in touch with, you know, the running gods of years past who
and
all
I'm
ran
only
barefoot.
I'm mentioning Kenya because they have a tradition of running barefoot. There's no other sort of connotation to that.
That is correct. And that is correct. So, yeah, I've done that a few times, but even then it's so, I mean, even though it is as natural as you can be for someone like myself and every other American who's run in
You're
shoes
used to your cushioning.
Yeah, it's just it feels very awkward. But I do kind of like the cushion of it. And I run just slightly above tide line. So the ground is moist.
You want the firm ground, but not hard.
Not
a little give, probably.
Yeah. I don't want loose sand, but I also don't want to be running in the water either, because that's
crazy.
Terrible idea. So
would you, like, do you think your stride would change if you're running barefoot on the beach?
I would advise
shoes?
Someone to shorten their stride. Yes. Just because you're landing.
Why is that?
Well, because your landing is not as cushioned. Because most, you know, you should, most people land first on their heel and then kind of on their midfoot. And you would be really.
Are you supposed to land midfoot?
You're supposed to land midfoot, but most people, literally the first part that makes contact is the heel of the shoe. But that wouldn't be there. The cushion wouldn't be there. So you would be putting a lot of impact on the heel. So by shortening your stride, you're more likely to land on your midfoot. Is why I said shorten your stride. So that you apply pressure evenly across the entire bottom portion of your foot. I'm no running ergonomics expert, but that would be my advice for those of you considering doing that this summer as we pile headfirst into the summer months here. Actually, June's already over. Jeez, summer flying by. But anyway, all that to say that is not something I would do. I love a good walk on the beach, especially at dusk, a little cooler.
Yeah, it's nice. We always do that the first day, and we've done it. We did it last night as well. It's quite nice.
Yeah. So that's always good. And again, the other advantages are almost always less people on the beach at that hour. And again, just the lower temperature and, you know, just kind of nonchalant stroll down the beach. Not a bad thing. Good for the soul, as they say. So, yeah, I am a weirdo indeed. Okay. So, and then obviously it goes without saying, speaking of beach activities, meaning things that you do when you go to the beach, but not at the beach itself, you've already mentioned them. Our family traditions include a lot of board games, a lot of naps, if possible, and just kind of hanging out in the condo. And
it's been limited naps, but yeah, there have definitely been some. My wife fell asleep on the deck on which I'm sitting right now.
Really?
And was annoyed when someone woke her up. I was like, sorry.
Was she in a chair? Like, is there
these
there
plastic chairs? Yeah, they're not comfortable. I don't know.
That's
she
impressive.
Must be very tired.
Indeed, that's impressive. I don't know how she did that. Kudos to her on that.
The vinyl couches are much more suited to napping and or sleeping.
100%, as you proved last night.
Yes,
by sleeping there.
I will repeat tonight.
Is there a couch in the dining area anymore?
No, that's gone.
Okay. I think that was the case last time I was there, but I couldn't remember.
They have a much larger dining table. It's honestly, like, now I'm like, when I see that space, I was like, how is there ever a pull-out couch back here? Does not seem big enough for
another
couch back there.
You had to move the table.
I know, but still, the room does not seem that large.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole place is not big, so.
No, and it probably seems smaller since you're 3 times the size of what you were as a child. Speaking of that, transition. How are we doing now that we're 5 days into vacation with the intermittent fasting?
Still fasting. The only day I broke early was my wife bought some donuts at the grocery store, so I figured, hey, I'm on vacation. I can break 2 or 3 hours early and have a donut.
I mean, I'd make the same choice. I'd also never make the choice to fast, but I would make that same choice.
But yeah, okay. I'm still fasting. I'm probably about 3 hours into my fast right now.
Just 3 hours?
Yeah, I usually start around 8.
Okay.
Go till noon, as we discussed the following day, more or less.
So is it more of a struggle when you're out there for a couple hours in the morning at the beach? Or are you
like... I have been more hungry.
Yeah.
Towards lunchtime here. But also, I'm used to the schedule of wake up, eat breakfast at the beach. I mean, I'm used to that at home, but it's easier to sort of skip it at home because
sure.
I don't have these memories coming back of eating breakfast at the shitty little counter in the kitchen.
Yeah, but I don't remember like classic breakfast.
No, I don't. There certainly weren't any.
Sure.
It's not a specific food. Oh, right. I did get some Triscuits while we were here, though.
I was going to say, I bought some Triscuits at the store this past weekend as well, and I ate some yesterday, and they are fucking delicious.
I got cracked black pepper and olive oil. I should have gotten just the straight ones. I want to taste what a regular Triscuit.
That's what I got. I got the regular straight like. Triscuits. Yep.
But I do like the black pepper and olive oil.
There are a lot of options at my local Safeway.
Yes, for the far too many.
All the flavors. All the flavors. By the way, since we not surprisingly have shifted into food talk, at least temporarily here, while I was buying the Triscuits, I looked up and on the upper shelf were Better Cheddars. You remember Better Cheddars?
I do. I thought they had gone by the wayside.
So did I. But the box is exactly the same.
Those are sort of S-shaped cheese crackers?
No. They're like little discs. They're very thin.
Okay.
They're like half dollar size, probably even bigger.
Yeah.
But they're just very thin, very crackly, very crispy. I didn't get them, but I was kind of mad at myself. And I didn't get them because I had Triscuits, I had Ritz Bits sandwiches with cheese, and I had two boxes of Cheez-Its. And I was like, I don't need all the cheese crackers.
Yeah, two boxes of Cheez-Its?
Well, my local Safeway has all the Cheez-Its, like white cheddar and extra toasty, but they never have just the regular straight up, straight Cheez-Its. And they finally, I guess they'd restocked because I went Monday. I guess they'd restocked Monday morning or something. And I was like, I'm buying several boxes. Plus,
so you're not a fan of the cheese nibs, right? Nibs?
Nibs. Believe it or not, it's nips. But I wouldn't say I'm not a fan. I just prefer Cheez-Its more than cheese nips.
What's the difference between the nips and zits?
It's not zits. It's Cheez-Its. I don't know. Cheez-Its are just better. I think it's a better...
Cheez-Its are really good, but they are greasier, I feel like, than the nips.
Greasier? No. Incorrect.
Okay.
By the way, difference between Cheez-Its and cheese nips, there is no difference. They're exactly the same. Just one's Kraft, one's Nabisco, I think.
Just different manufacturers.
Correct. They're direct competitors. For sure.
Why are they called nips?
No idea. Really do not know. Sorry, Cheez-Its are Kellogg. They're a Kellogg's product. Who would have thought that? Approximately 26 by 26 millimeters. Wow.
Whoa, that's some very specific information.
Very particular. And Cheez-Its.
That's not the nips.
Yeah. Not the nips. The nips don't specify exact size. The size doesn't matter when it comes to nips.
You should. We should call this episode Zits, Not Nips.
Zits, Not Nips. Consider it done. Let me type it in. Anyway, so yeah, I had a field day at the local Safeway this past Monday.
Only buying crackers. Did you buy anything else other than the
crackers? Yeah, no, I went there to buy stuff for dinner. I had to buy, we had spaghetti Monday night, so I got some sauce.
You ended up having Cheez-Its for dinner?
No, we did not. Although last night, we went back and forth, and we ended up having breakfast for dinner. Had waffles, sausage, pretty good.
I like breakfast for dinner.
It hit the spot. We don't Yeah, we don't do that very often, but I was glad we did. And then I also bought stuff to make a cake, which we made tonight. Because my birthday cake was, so nice having cake available that we decided we were going to make another one just for the hell of it.
Wait, so do you eat leftover cake for breakfast?
No. This is strictly for dessert, post-dinner dessert. Yeah, I've certainly
How long does a cake last you?
I think the one for my birthday lasted, five days.
Two of you.
6 days.
It's getting grody on that day.
It was still good. We have a cover for it, so we keep it as sealed as we can.
You don't ever eat it for breakfast?
No. Again, I could, but
that is a distinct memory of mine of having leftover birthday cake and eating it for breakfast.
Oh, for sure. But I mean, it's kind of just making it because, hey, it's July. Why not? I don't need to double down.
So what kind of cake did you make?
I got literally the most vanilla cake I could get. I got vanilla cake and vanilla buttercream frosting.
No funfetti or anything?
No, I told you that was what my birthday cake was funfetti. But I want to do something. So. And
you want to mix it up with the vanilla on vanilla.
I want to mix it up. Yeah. I think the frosting is almost exactly the same. Different brand, though. Jamie wasn't a huge fan of the frosting on my birthday cake. So I think I got Dunkin' instead of, I don't know, something else.
Nips.
Whole House? I don't know. Nips. Yeah. Nips.
Nips frosting.
Jesus frosting. But no, we made it earlier. It's been cooling while the show's going on. And as soon as we finish, I'm going to frost it and eat it. Or at least eat a slice.
Do you have one of those cake round things where it spins to make it easier to frost?
No, but that would be amazing. No, but we put it on a plate and you can spin the plate.
Spin the plate. Not the same. Cake not stand, the same. I think is what
I agree. But and we have some icing and some sprinkles and other toppings du jour.
Oh, you're gonna really decorate it.
Why the fuck not? Might as well.
I don't know.
I mean, I got the cake.
Not clear why you're having a cake.
Because it's July. That's why. I don't need a reason.
Celebrate July with cake.
No, honestly, I like having dessert available at all times. I was like, we can make another cake. She's like, really? I said, yeah. Why not? It's the same as buying any other dessert that we generally buy. Husband. So, what's that?
I said you're such a generous husband.
I mean, I try to be. That cost me in the icing and the cake.
$6.
No, not even. $3.50, $4, something like that. Cakes are cheap, man. It was like $2.50 for the cake, and the icing was, I don't know, $1.19 or something. It's not expensive.
Oh, I'm worried that my hiccups are back.
Oh, yes. This will maximize the entertainment value of the episode.
I coughed and got a little hiccup. Resident,
why do you
hopefully
why were you hiccuping earlier? Is it something you ate or drank?
I don't know. I think sometimes if I eat too much I get the hiccups. So I had them earlier today.
Okay.
And then they just like once I've had them, my hiccup whatever prevention part of my body is less strong.
So what did
more
you
likely to relapse in the hiccups?
What did you eat tonight that you think you ate too much of that could have brought them back?
It was this afternoon, but I don't know. I think I was just like, I had like a bagel for lunch with some Cheetos or something. No. But then I had some Triscuits after. I had lots of little snacks, so I think I had too much food. Mm. I don't know. Who knows? 27 glasses of Diet Coke.
Oh, 27. Excellent
we've
work.
We've gone through about 12 to 15 2 liters since we've been here.
But how many people are drinking
like,
that?
More like 3.5 or 4.
Okay. So the adults.
I think we've been here 4 days. We've probably gone through 6, I would guess. I don't really know.
It's not horrible, I suppose.
No, we're not really slamming them that much, but...
on that
front. My wife is also broken into sweet tea, so.
Oh, boy. Went in the South, I suppose. On that note, though, I had one of the other things I picked up. No. I picked this up over the weekend, either last Friday or Saturday. I picked up a two-liter bottle of Diet Crush, Orange Crush. As you're probably aware, Diet Crush does not have caffeine. And I've been on a pretty long streak of just having Coke Zero or Coke Zero Cherry. And so I put the Crush in there on Saturday, I think. And
in there, in your body, you mean?
Sorry, in the fridge. Put it up in there. Put it up in the fridge.
Put the Crush in there. Nothing happened.
Nothing happened. No Crush. And so Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, I was drinking it. And starting Monday and continuing Tuesday, I had this dull headache. And I was like, I can count on one hand how many headaches I've had in my life. Like, I never get headaches. It's ridiculous how infrequent. So for me to have a headache, just kind of out of the blue, made no sense. And it wasn't until late last night, as I was finishing my final gulp of the Diet Crush, I was like, holy shit, this stuff doesn't have any caffeine. I've heard of it, but never seen it. I was like, I bet I just had a caffeine headache because I'm used to having caffeine. I'd gone several days without it, and I'll be damned. So I have to keep that in mind in the future if I get Diet Sunkist or Diet Crush or any of those, like Diet 7-Up. Diet Sprite, something like that.
Yep.
Sprite.
Yep. No caffeine in any of those. Most root beer does not have caffeine.
Also root beer, yeah.
Than Barks.
I don't remember experiencing that. It was very bizarre. So that's a tip from the top.
I've had some Diet Cheer Wine since I've been here.
Very nice. Do not sell that out here. I'm very disappointed by that. I love a good Diet Cheer
Wine. I think it's basically only in the Southeast.
Yeah, it is. Just bullshit, because it's delicious.
That's kind of a weird aftertaste to me, but I still like it.
The diet does, but it's such a unique cherry cola flavor. You just can't get anywhere else. Good for you.
Yeah, that's why I got it. I was like, oh, cheer wine. Definitely getting some of that.
Living it up. It's a beautiful thing.
Cheer wine. Those are my major grocery purchases.
Literally, I could eat that right now, and I already had dinner. Like, I could have Triscuits and Diet Cheer Wine right now and be a very happy man, even though I got cake on deck. Like, I wouldn't even care. I'd have all of them. Because as usual, this show is, taking the deep
step. Devolved into food talk.
Devolved into food talk. Thank you. That's the word I couldn't think of. And here we are. So, well, listen, that's an hour. You're on the back deck at the beach, keeping the kids awake. I can only assume.
No, they're asleep.
No, they're long.
I need to get inside, though, because I'm getting eaten by mosquitoes.
Okay, I'll let you do that.
Let's wrap it up.
Wrap it up, we shall. Again, the beach episode, which we now know will be called Zits Not Nips, 2020. So Todd and fam at the beach, living it up. I'll take a vacation one of these days that isn't to Vegas and maybe to a beach. We'll just have to wait and see.
Take your wife with you.
To Vegas?
No, on vacation.
Oh, on vacation. No, well, that's what I'm talking about.
That's what I'm saying. I'm encouraging you to do vacation. So.
Actually, to Nevada, period. Either Vegas or Tahoe. But anyway, I'll work on that. Maybe for next time, we'll have to brainstorm some ideas for that. We'll call it a pod. Todd has a couple more days at the beach, and then he's back in Maryland for a couple weeks, so next week should be a normal recording situation. For those that are hearing this, I can make sure I get this up tomorrow night. Hearing this before the 4th, happy 4th of July. Happy Independence Day to everyone.
Be safe, everyone.
Be safe. Do not shoot off fireworks.
Protect your pets from the dangerous fireworks.
Yes, and those with PTSD. But seriously, happy 4th to everyone. Thank you all for listening. Like, comment, share, subscribe. Tell a friend, thebropodnetwork@gmail.com for your favorite beach. Let us know what that is. And that'll do it. So, until next time, everybody.
Peace.
You're being recorded.
Thanks.
You gotta say something so I can see what it sounds like.
Oh. Well, you're at the beach. I'm on the deck. I have to... becomes.
And now I'll find a way to insert this into the final recording for this week's show. We're at the beach, I'm on the deck. Right! Giggity! Hey, I'm going to ask you this during the actual recording, but how do I stop this thing? I go to the same ellipsis, I guess so. Okay, stop the